We don't know what happened. You know, but it was just the devil is trying to come against the church. He's wanting to stop the church. You got an LA mayor threatening to shut off the gas to a church in California if they hold services. Seriously? Dare you to cross the Constitution, sir. Keep it up. That's crossing the Constitution. Why? Because the devil is afraid of what's going to happen. The revival that's coming forward, it's not to shake the church up. Come on, if you can't, people say, oh, you guys having revival meeting. No, this is normal service. We're alive. That's the point of church. You can be alive and come to church and live. Church isn't come to church and be quiet. Man, we got little kids. I dare you to keep these kids quiet. I dare you. Their parents can't. Their grandparents can't. There's just no way. And they're just multiplying. Praise God for that. But I'm here to tell you, even they are experiencing what's happening. But the revival that we're going to see, it's a harvest. Forget revival. I don't like the word revive because that's what it means. It's a harvest. The harvest is ripe, ladies and gentlemen. It is white. And it depends on the church and how their church is reacting in this stuff right here, right now. Don't be fooled. It's about killing the church. That's what it's about. Okay? Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Everything's attacked. Yes, they got to attack everything. But why is it church seems to be the one thing they really don't want you to do? Down in Kentucky, they don't want you to sing. What's church? Well, you come in and you listen to the preacher. Honestly, I come for the music. So I'm going to tell you right now, because of that song we sang, The Presence. When we come together and we sing, if you shut your eyes, you can be absorbed into the presence of God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't going to feel that in a grocery store. You ain't going to feel that at work. You ain't going to feel that anywhere. But you can come here and we can sing and we can feel the tangible presence of God. So as I was standing back there, the Lord just really poured into my heart today, right now, before we bless the offering, we are praying for the church across this country, across this planet, because it's under an attack to stop us. And there's going to be churches, like I said, I'm not the only preacher. There's a reason why 1,500 preachers every month quit. Okay? So don't think, well, I'm just telling you, I ain't. That's all there is to it. I'm not. I spent my life, I've grown up as a quitter. I'm done. The Marine Corps changed that in me. Towards the end, my wife has helped me on many occasions stop that. Well, if you quit now, you'll always be a quitter. Well, that's kind of true, but anyhow. So we're going to pray for the church, the body of Christ throughout this entire planet, because it's under attack to stop the harvest. We are the laborers, ladies and gentlemen. We are the farmhands sent out to reap the harvest. We aren't the grim reaper. Let's understand that. We're supposed to be the joyful reaper. So if the body of Christ understands, we can go out and joy and bring in those sheaves, as the old song says. We shall come rejoicing. It's about time the body of Christ starts rejoicing and start acting like it. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that we are part of your church. We are part of your body on this planet. Now, Lord, across this planet, we pray for the preachers. We pray for strength for them, Lord God. We pray for encouragement for them. Lord, we pray for help for them. Lord, I pray right now that we bind discouragement on their behalf around this planet. Lord, I pray right now that the flock would rise up, all of God's people rise up and fulfill the call on their lives, Lord God. Father, that they no longer question what they're supposed to do, that they know what they're supposed to do. They get out and they do it, Lord God. They start bringing in the people, the lost, the weary, Father God, those who are addicted, Father, those who are strung out, Lord God, those who are just without hope, Lord, that they would bring them in. So, Father, we call them in right now, Lord God. We pray for strength, Lord God. We pray that the body of Christ's eyes are opened throughout this entire planet to realize there is an attack, that it has come to rule. So, Father, we thank you and praise you that we're not stopping. We will lift up your name. Lord God, if we have to meet in a parking lot, we'll meet in a parking lot. We will praise your name. Father, nothing shall stop. Your word says, Father, that the rocks will cry out. The trees will cry out. Lord God, we will not stop. We will not let the parking lot cry out for us. We will sing. We will rejoice. We will tell people there is hope in Jesus' name. And now, Father, I do bless the tithe and offering. Lord, I pray that you move in the lives of each and every believer. Father, you bless that. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Lord God, you have cursed the devourer for their sake. In the name of Jesus, and you've opened up opportunities for blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated, and those wonderful children may be dismissed. Bye. At least that wasn't like the little boy who had been misbehaving through most of the church service, and he got up. His daddy got up, picked him up. Little boy looked over his daddy's shoulder, looked around to everybody, said, "Y'all pray for me now." Oh, praise God. Whew. I'll tell you what, it's actually warm up here. Well, you know, since we've gotten back, we've received a lot of water. I don't know about y'all, we got a ton of rain. I think we had an inch and a quarter in the thing the night we got home. I dumped that. The next rain, we had about an inch and a quarter, and the next rain after that, we had an inch and a quarter. So at our house, we got a lot of rain. Some of y'all I know didn't get that much, but we got a bunch of rain. It rained hard. It rained just a shower for an hour or two. It poured the rain. What would this world be like without water? It wouldn't be here. Without water, what's the one thing scientists are looking for on Mars and all these other planets? Water. Now, I will tell you right now, I have two science teachers in here today, so I have to mind my P's and Q's on the scientific stuff. I can't just make up facts, because I got to look at both of them. They are strategically centered. But water is life. You could go 3 to 4 days without water. Not saying you're going to die on day four, but you ain't going to do anything on day four. You're going to be huddled up in a little puddle because you have no strength. You have no energy. Men are 60% water. Women are 55%. And the leaner you are, the more water mass you're able to contain. It has something to do with the fat. And I'm like, well, okay, I went from 2% body fat at one time to, well, we won't talk about it now. But I can promise you I'm not that 2%. I think last time I checked there was a 2, but it had moved over. But honestly, I don't ever want to weigh 120 pounds again. That is tiny. I'm like, man, there were girls that weighed more than I did in school, and they weren't fat. I was just a bean. I wasn't even a bean pole because I was short. Bean poles are tall. But there's so much with water that our life, we have to have it. Let me get this out here on some things. I wanted to look more professional, so I didn't know. I shut my notebook back there. Probably should have left it open. As we all know, water is made up of, I'm going to say, three components, and before my teachers correct me, there are two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen. And the reason I worded it like that, because if you have one hydrogen and one oxygen, do you have water? No. Do you know what it is, perchance? Hydroxide. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't think you can drink that. I don't think it's going to bring you life. But if you add the second hydrogen atom, it makes water. Water will bring you life. Well, let's see, the Godhead. What's the Godhead made up of? Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three items. All equally important. The Father, however, you need to understand, the Holy Spirit and the Son did not come to bring glory to themselves. They came to bring glory to the Father. So you have your hydrogen, your two hydrogen atoms, the Father, or the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the one oxygen atom, the Father. It's three part. The Bible talks about that there is a Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Water can be represented in three different things, can it? Liquid, gas, and solid. Just like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got different jobs. The Holy Spirit does different things. Different people. Just depends. The movie, the movie and the book, The Shack, kind of pointed that out. The Holy Spirit chose to be represented as the Father as a woman. I know people that are just getting all bent out of shape all over the world about that movie and that book. Where do you think male and female came from? Came out of man. Man was breathed out of God. God created them all. But anyhow, he chose to be mama in that because the man had such a terrible relationship with his own father. And the man would not receive from him. Now, you know, here lately I've actually been able to drink hot coffee on a hot day. But I used to work with a guy when I was in the quarry, and it would be 120 degrees down in that bottom. I'm not kidding. You start digging a big hole, it gets hot in that hole. Because all it does is just sit there and collects the sun. It could be a 90-degree day, and you could feel the difference as you started going down. He'd come up out of there at lunch. We'd have lunch there in the shop, crack open that old thermos, and pour himself a big old cup of hot coffee. And I'm sitting over there. I got sweat dripping off of me, antifreeze, oil, everything else I got into. And he would drink that hot coffee. Me, that Pepsi. Dripping with the dew on the side of it. Or the water. Or whatever else it was. But the coffee just did not... Hot did not seem to be it for me. It worked for him. I wanted a little ice. I wanted a little chill in that. All these things have a purpose. All those forms have a purpose. Steam, we know we got steam power. You can actually have heat with steam. Let's see, liquid running water. Well, shoot, you've got hydropower, for one. You can move vessels from one place to the other. You can hydrate yourself. Let's see what else you can do with it. Oh, you can bathe in it. Let's see, where I wrote some other things down on here, and I'm out of order. See, liquid water makes crops grow. Oh, but did you know that in the process that the water goes up in condensation into the clouds, also rests on top of these mountains? Everybody's getting bent out of shape because the glaciers and stuff are melting. Well, they weren't ever really supposed to stay there forever. The water is supposed to keep going. It's a big process. But that water runs down those mountains. Is anybody... I'm going to ask a question. I would probably be able to tell your age. Anybody ever drank right out of a creek? Okay, pretty much everybody in here. Anybody ever drank out of the creek and then found out that it was the runoff that came out of the neighbor's cess pond? That was not a good discovery. Mom's like, where are you guys getting your water? Oh, out of the creek. Stop drinking out of that. The cesspool runs underneath of it. Well, we didn't know. But I will tell you right now, if I'm up on in the Rocky Mountains and I'm next to a babbling stream that's got water coming, I'm drinking out of that creek before I drink out of your bottle. Because that creek water, that river water coming off of those has all those minerals in it. And it is so actually good. Spring water. We had a spring in the front of our house when I was a kid, in one of the houses we rented. And I'd be out there mowing. I had a push mower. Get out there and crank that old, it had a crank pump on it. And that thing would just start spewing water. You let the rusty stuff blow out first. And then you stick your mason jar underneath of it. And you fill that thing up with crystal clear, ice cold water. I mean, we'd make our Kool-Aid with it. We didn't even need ice in it. It was that cold. I don't think the people that live there now realize what they had. I think they may have filled the well in. But that water was the best water. Now, I'm not going to lie. I know where another spring is, out on 314 coming up the hill from Waterford Road. Right off the side of the road, there's this little concrete trough sitting there. It's got moss, it's got grass, and after seeing the horses drink out of it, I lost my appetite for wanting to drink out of it. But I knew people who'd stop, fill their jugs up. Water is vital to our existence. Not only does it help our crops grow, it cools the earth. All this water is there for a reason. It's cooling the earth, but you know it also regulates the winter. It helps warm the winter a little bit as the heat is coming out of the water. Oh yeah, it cleans us. Our body, our house, our clothes. You know, I don't know about y'all, but if you stop and think about it for a little bit, we've really become spoiled with having indoor water, for starters, and having washing machines. When we were doing some renovation work in our house, we tore out a wall, and inside that wall was a paddle about this long. It's about got a handle that big around, and the flat part is about that wide. It was a laundry paddle. It was used for beating the laundry, cleaning that laundry. And you know where they got the water from? 100 yards across the road from the creek is where they got their water at that point. That thing had been in there a long time. We've really gotten used to having water accessible. It also aids in weight loss. It can curb your appetite. If you're having a hard time with your appetite, drink you a big glass of water a half hour before you eat, and it will fill you up, and it'll choke down your capability of holding a bunch of food. It helps with kidney stones. If there's any of my other kidney brothers and sisters out here. Brain function, there's a big one. If you get to where you can't think, ask yourself, when was the last time I drank some water? You need water to think. Your energy levels, we talked about, it detoxifies. It aids in digestion. You know, in reality, you shouldn't drink soda and garbage with your dinner. And I've always heard it said that the Chinese drink hot tea because it helps cut the fats and the oils. Don't know if there's any scientific theory, it seems to work, but it's going to be at least 98.6 in my belly, so everything's coming up to temperature. Oh, hydrates your skin. Some of you that have to rub down every night with lotion, drink more water. It'll help. Do you know that's why some of these people that live in these tanning beds and they live out in their lawn chairs tanning, that's why they look like lizards. There's no other way to put it. They look like brown lizards. Their skin is so dry, they don't drink enough water. You can put all the lotion on you want. Try drinking the water that God made, that He made for you to be able to drink and live. Now, we also know that water can be used for destruction. In Genesis 1, we read that the earth was covered with water. And in verse 6, it says that God called the dry ground out of the water. But by Genesis 7, God uses water to bring judgment on the earth. It says that the wells, the deep wells of the water, the earth were cracked open. The heavens opened. And I'm not going to say, I've been reading things and I'm not 100% convinced that we're interpreting the scripture right, that there was never any rain at that point in life, because where it records that the mist went up was before man, before everything was said and done. We had light on day one, but the sun didn't get created until, what, day three? So, but that was God's way at that time. And by the way, what goes up comes down, and we call it rain. So I'm not 100% sure, because God said, I'm going to make it rain. You imagine being Noah, and what's rain? What is rain? They had to know what death was, or else what's the point? Your kids have to know something's going to hurt them. If they don't, they don't understand. Understand burn. Well, I tell you this right now. Your kid grabs a stove the first time, he will know what the word burn means. We try to stop that, though, don't we? But you can also use water, a gentle flowing water over time, can erode stone. It can bring down big trees. It can wash out large areas of topsoil. But you take that same water and you add a little bit of flow to it, a little bit of speed, and it starts cutting that stone faster and faster. Then if you really want to get high pressure, well, you can use stone. You can throw water, and I can change the tip on my water, my pressure washer. It's only 2,800 PSI, and I can change the tip in that, and I can cut stone. I can cut the concrete. I can cut rocks. Not real fast, mind you, but it will start wearing it. It starts breaking up the parts. However, you want to go Tim Allen on this, more power. Bump that up to 90,000 PSI, and you can cut up to 4 inches of steel perfectly smooth. And you can take that same stream at 90,000 PSI and cut a piece of paper 5/1000ths of an inch thick, and it'll be a perfect cut. That's the power of water. I don't know why we keep, well, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. I don't know why we keep wasting our time on rocket fuel. Man, how many of y'all remember those little, they came out in the 80s, they were little rockets. You filled them about half full of water and had a little air pump. And man, I think it required 10 pumps. Well, if 10 is good, 20's got to be better. Man, you can't hardly release the thing. And that rocket goes, and that water is propelling it now through by the air pressure. And it shoots that rocket up in the air. Water. Something simple as water. Something God created for us to need, to use. Something God used on this planet once to bring judgment. I often wondered, how did plant life survive? Seeds don't last very long submerged in water. Well, first off, we keep getting told that, because we don't read and we don't actually do the math, that the earth was covered in water for a year. No, the whole thing was a year. Water went up, the water came down. The water was approximately 26 feet higher than the tallest mountain, because God said it. Well, Mount Everest, I mean, that's 36,000 feet. Mount Everest, I don't believe existed. I don't believe our mountains were as tall. And I'll tell you this, because when the earth, it says that the fountains of the earth were opened up, I believe that's when the Eden or Pangaea broke apart and our continents drifted apart. We know for a fact that India is its own continent, actually pushing into Asia and causing those mountains to get taller every year. So I don't think the mountains were quite that tall, because God gave us the entire planet to use. Stop and think about it. We were never to die, right? There is enough ground on this planet for us to have lived for eternity. But we can't. You really can't survive very well in the Rockies. Maybe some old bearded guy walks around in furs that he trapped and takes a shower once every 6 months. Once you go to a certain height on Mount Everest, you got to have oxygen. There's no life. And last week I asked you how many of you were hillbillies. It means you got family that came from there at some point. You know life in the mountains is hard. Mountain people can be hard people because life is hard. So we have water everywhere. And every river on this planet flows into the ocean. Every one of them. Did you know what is one of the major, what I personally think is one of the major features of Eden? A lot of people read right over top of it. There's a big river. And that river breaks up into four rivers. And just because Moses, when he wrote Genesis, said to Euphrates, I don't know why people keep thinking that Eden is somewhere in Mesopotamia. The water flowed out of Eden, the garden. Not into it, flowed out of it. And Euphrates flows into Mesopotamia. In other words, we're looking in the wrong place. Which I personally think it's in Antarctica. God wanted to give his guard a break. Remember, there was an angel that had to stand there with a sword that was flaming all the time to keep man out. God says, we'll just move this thing way down here on the bottom, cover it with a mile and a half of ice. It's my opinion. It's also tropical. So, what's that got to do with us, Pastor? You just told us all this stuff about water. Well, the reason I told you about this water is because the Bible uses the water metaphor many times. Jesus told the woman at the well, you drink out of this water and tomorrow you'll be thirsty. I got water, you'll never thirst again. We baptize in water. And just a shout out there, throwing this out there, the water does not wash your sins. It's a ceremonial procedure that we do to signify that we are dying to ourselves and being raised in Christ. Because if it did, then what was the point of Jesus coming? Because John the Baptist was already doing it. Jesus turned around and the Christians used it to signify dying to ourselves. And we all know that self likes to get up every morning, pull himself off of that cross and say, hey, yo, I ain't done. And you got to jump back up, grab your east wing, and just start swinging that hammer again and set those nails. At some point, we're going to learn how to bend the nails over so he can't get back off. But the Bible talks about that. Now, Jason's going to try to keep up if I bring up a scripture. He told me he could do it. Let's go to Ephesians 5:26, Jason. Now, Ephesians 5 is a scripture that most men in the body of Christ are taught right off the bat. Why? Because it says, wives, submit to your husbands. I want you to know that that's just a teeny part of what Paul was saying. Teeny tiny part. And there's a reason for the submission. And it was not to be my slave. But 5:26, I'm going to go back up to 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Did I get a call come in? Oh. We lost internet connection or something. Anyhow. That he might present her, I'm going to read 27, to himself a righteous, glorious church. We're to love husbands, we're to love our wives. just as Christ loved the church, which we are a part of. He gave his own life. He gave it up. But that he might sanctify her by the washing of what? The word. Now, Jason, I'm going to jump over to Titus 3:5. Actually, where can you go to 4 when you bring that up? Bring up 4 and 5. It says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, I heard one preacher one time talking about this. You know, if you got a seed in the ground, it requires water. That plant will always require water. But once you put too much water, you'll kill the seed. You will drown the seed. And that was why I was questioning, how did plant life survive the flood? Several different theories of creation, by creation people. And they're absolutely right. One, some seeds float. I've seen coconuts floating in the bay in the Philippines with trees growing out of them. The water wasn't on the earth the whole time. Two, there's debris. You know, all the pictures of the flood I saw, water was always splashing around. Well, the water went up, it stopped, and it came down. That was it, and it was done. You weren't going to have a bunch of dead bodies because, well, there was a bunch of sharks. That's what they do. They clean. Nothing in the sea died. So you had all of that. But plus carcasses of animals that did. They had seeds. It's been proven time and time again where people will find pigeons and they'll find seed from where they've been. They found a way into the farmer's grain bin. And they'll have seed in them. And they'll actually transplant those seed. And those seed will take root. So there's lots of different ways that it could have actually, life could have kept going. But let's keep going with us. He said, and renewing by the Holy Spirit, by the washing, the cleansing. I told you, water does it. It cleanses. We have got to be able to let the Holy Spirit cleanse us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of wrong. That's what we got to remember first and foremost. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you, you had better listen, repent of it, and let the renewing happen. The Holy Spirit has been shut out of the church by large. People don't want the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't want to pray in tongues. Well, listen, I don't care if you don't want to or not. That's your personal feeling. I want to because it's like going into a battle and all I've got is a single shot shotgun. And you bring up the Holy Spirit, man, you just locked and loaded with a squad automatic weapon. 1,000 rounds a minute. The Holy Spirit knows exactly where to go. We're trying to figure stuff out. Oh, Lord, how do I pray for my brother Pat? Well, I don't know how to pray for him. I mean, I know a little bit about Pat. You know, I've spent some time with him. I know stuff about Pat. How do I pray for him? Don't listen to him. I spent time with him too. We got forgiveness in operation right here in the church, folks. But you pray in the Spirit because the Spirit knows how to pray. The Spirit knows what they need. We don't. Because I'm going to tell you, here, let me help y'all out right now. I'm going to help y'all Facebookers out. I'm going to help everybody in here out right here, right now. You want to pray for DeWine? Don't pray God kills him. Please, stop it. Start praying in the Spirit. Let God work through him. I would rather see that man go to heaven, a changed man, than to die of some disease or some nut job. with a gun who's going to prove the point that he's trying to make for stronger gun control and die and go to hell. Do you know how long it takes to drown? We're going to talk, still talking about the flood. It takes you less than 60 seconds to drown. Depends on how long you can hold your breath. And typically, the older you are, the young, there's that age group right in between there. They're good to go. They can hold their breath for a couple minutes. That's the only difference. It usually takes a grown man 40 seconds to drown. A child even less. Do you know how long it takes to burn, to die by fire? About 4 minutes. Drowning, anytime you've ever gotten water down the wrong tube, you can only imagine. But you can't expel it because you have nothing but water. And your lungs only go in. They're only going to inflate with air until they're forced to stop. But fire, anybody's ever gotten burned, it hurts. You're burning and burning. And you pray to God that the smoke inhalation takes you quick. The flood was God's mercy on people. People don't see that. So when we have the Holy Spirit, we have our Word. The Bible also said we're supposed to be fountains of living water. Out of us will flow living water. We're supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to bring people living water. Jude puts it, talks about people in the in the church. I got to read this, Jude 12. I'm going to read more than 12, but I'm going to go to verse 10. If you don't know anything about Jude, it's only one chapter, so there is no Jude 1, 10. It's just Jude 10. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts in these things, they have corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the ways of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. This is people, he's talking about the church. The church should never be described as this. We should always be a place of life. I don't care how bad the week gets. You get back up. You get right back up. You don't stay down. You crawl out from your mess that you got yourself into. Start shaking yourself off. Repent of it. And keep moving. No matter what the devil may bring your way, he's only trying to stop you. Everything that's ever come against you, only the things that you wander off onto, they're there to stop you because hell is forever. But when we bring life, we have to be careful what we're bringing that life through. What am I channeling it through? I'm going to use that word channel. I know people get a little weird in the body of Christ when you start say channeling. And they start thinking of demons and stuff like that, but it's the actual, the proper word. I just told you, I would gladly drink water coming off of the top of a mountain, runs down the side over all those, that granite and those stones, and bringing the minerals that bring life, than the creek that was running through the cesspool. I always wondered what that little brown foam was. Yeah. So I can tell you, man, Corona, I drank piggy stew. Yeah, I better stop. I got to eat some point today. We have to be careful what we are bringing in. Not, listen, what are you listening to? your music. I listen to hard rock too. But I turn off the garbage that is only instilling anger. There's some of them like, man, that is a killer beat. I love that beat. But I got to turn it off. I told you last week that I just realized I hadn't really felt God's presence on my life. Just me and Him. I pray. But I really feel that when I'm creating something, when I'm making something. And when that starts happening, it just flows. And I was listening to some old 80s metal. I'm from the 80s, and I'm a metalhead. So sue me. But they brought up a song. And I thought, Lord, how appropriate. It was Heaven's on Fire. And I'm sitting there, and then it dawned on me. It was just like God went, hey, dummy, how are you going to hear from me by a guy singing about sex? I know I stepped on some toes, as it's awful quiet in this Methodist church this morning. I said, you're right, Lord. I'm not. I'm not going to welcome your presence in here. I flipped it right over. And I know it was Blood Good was the first one. I don't know, they played a lot of Blood Good on the 80s Christian metal. They play a lot of Striper too. But I never realized even then how much Blood Good music really speaks to me. Because they weren't that popular around here. They were more of a California type band. But as I started listening more and more to the words, I'm like, God, that is so profound. And these are long haired. These guys are probably in their 60s and 70s now, just so you know. But these guys were long haired. They wore leather, chains, earrings. And they screamed into microphones and jumped around like popcorn on a hot pan. And people said, that's of the devil. No, the devil can't tell me to run from the evil woman, to run from the loose woman like Proverbs tells me. And the devil doesn't say he is the Lamb of God. And so I began doing that, and the peace of God became over me. And out of that, I was able to address some situations, and we got some things straight. Does it mean we're never going to butt heads in our household again? Are you crazy? You're going to butt heads. I don't care who you are. You will butt heads. I want steak tonight. I want chicken. You're butting heads. I want Fruit Loops, which I had 3 bowls the other night. Found out we had Fruit Loops in the house. I just got to set the stage. She has this candle wax burner, and it's lemon. It always smells like Fruit Loops in the house. So I walked in there one day. I'm like, where's the Fruit Loops? That ain't Fruit Loops. That's my candle. How do you like it? I'm like, I want Fruit Loops now. So we've been smelling that, and she's like, I got a box of Fruit Loops. And I'm sitting there thinking, I could just handle a little smackerel of something. Fruit Loops. I got up, had a bowl. I'm not satisfied. Had another bowl. Jesse came in, had a bowl. He went to bed. I'm like, I can handle just a little bit more. Yes, I know what the sugar level is. I don't need to be told. So we have to be careful what is bringing into our lives. Same thing in the preaching realm. I throw that because there's a lot of people right now trying to get you focusing on the wrong things. Nowhere does the word tell us to focus on searching out who the Antichrist, even though I really want to do that. I want to know. Because Revelation does say, he who has wisdom, let him calculate the number of the beast. For it is a man's number. Ever since I figured that part out, I'm like, ooh. I don't know yet. We still have to be careful that we're not getting wrapped up like people did right after 9/11 happened. I can't tell you how many preachers turned to preaching about Islam. Why was the house of God preaching about evil? They wouldn't even say the name of God in Israel, let alone dare talk about Baal in their sanctuary. But yet we had, and they were packed. They were packed, and people kept coming. You wanted people coming to your church? Put out a sign, Islam the evil. What are we at? We're not even at 20 years yet. Next year's 20 years. We have Muslim congressmen, representatives, mayors. You know what happened? People gained head knowledge without praying. We're supposed to be fountains of living water. We're supposed to bring life. We bring life by praying and speaking the word, the will of God into existence, just as the Holy Spirit and the Son of God did and do. That's what we're supposed to. That's how we bring living water. And if you got bad water, listen, and here's something else. Water has got to be flowing. When water stops, it becomes stagnant. That's why this time of the year is not really a great time to be swimming. I mean, it may be hot. I mean, you might like, dear Lord, where are we at? The gates of hell right now? It's so hot. You go to your favorite swimming hole, and it's got scum on it, and it's got that little film. You jump in it. Well, yeah, the water's cool underneath of it, but the water now has bacteria in it too. Because it's no longer flowing. The Dead Sea. Do you know why the Dead Sea is dead? It doesn't flow out. Simple. It has no outlet. The Jordan River flows right into it. It has other little tributaries. But everything flows into it. And you need to know how the ocean is salty. The ocean is salty primarily because of all the salt that runs off of the rivers and they run into the ocean. And it has nowhere to get rid of it. At least that's what I read, okay, my teachers. I'm just throwing that out. I'm blaming it on somebody on the internet, on a website of science or something. But that's the way they best described it, is because the water, the salt water in our fresh water is like 0.05 parts per thousand, whereas the ocean is 30 to 35. It's really salty, but the Dead Sea is just off the charts. Plus, it's like, 1,400 feet below sea level? It's the lowest place on the planet. That is nuts. And you got the Jordan River flowing right down through there. River that God used. It's not a real big river. Probably the Whetstone. Not huge. And yet all this stuff flows into it, but nothing can flow out of it. So it can't get rid of all the salt. Now, we do know that it has some healing properties. The salt does help your body because we need salt. We have to have salt. God made us from this earth. We are part of this earth. Everything on this earth, He put on here to help us. Now, I don't want to see you running out to the farmer's field and picking up his salt lick and licking on it. Bring it to my house, we'll set it out back for the deer. No, leave the farmer's salt lick on the second thoughts. Go buy me one. No, I don't want one. We have got to make sure that we are flowing, that we're allowing the word that we get in here every day, every week, the word that you read when you sit down and read your Bible. I'm going to tell you, listen, some people think they got to sit down for an hour and they've got to study this thing out. If that's the way God has moved on you to do it, do it. If sitting down and reading one scripture, one passage, and you just keep chewing on that all week long, it's like a big old piece of jerky. You know, yeah, at first you don't get it, but boy, then there comes that sweet spot. And it starts mixing up, and you're like, oh, man, this is good. And then you move it. Oh, there's a whole pocket of flavor I missed. That's the way the Word of God is. You'll pick up things. You'll see things you never, you'll think, wait a minute, that's not what they taught me in Sunday school. You need to I remember we had this record. My mom and dad got saved in the late 70s, and there was this record. It was the Bible. They wanted us to know the Bible. So anything that had Bible stories on it, they bought it. And this record told the story of creation and all that, all the way through Jesus. And we had a comic book kind of thing to go along with it. And it would play. And it was really neat. But they reenacted everything to a degree that was like, that's not real. Because during the flood, they had people outside beating on the door of the ark, screaming. Imagine yourself being 8 years old and you're listening to somebody drown. Let me tell you a little secret about building out of timbers that are at least this wide. You can't hear through it. I would have to go seriously beat on the side of Pat's house for him to hear me. Because he's got a log cabin. He's got those big wide logs. They are dense. They do not transfer the sound through like they did on that record. So all my time as a child, I grew up thinking, oh, those people. They had 120 years to repent. By the way, that's what that 120 years meant, not man's life would be restricted to 120 years. From that point to the flood was 120 years. Because if that's the case, well, Noah should have died the second he stepped off that ark. So should have Jim. They called him Jim. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Abraham. All of them should have died because all of them lived to be more than 100 and 120. Is what I'm saying. But we were taught things because somebody thought that sounded good. It's not the Word. People are wanting to fight right now. People are wanting to develop an army to go and oppose the Antichrist, oppose the government. Jesus told us time after time, you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. In Revelations, it's even told to us again. We were not called to become an army. Trust me, that is one thing as a child I was taught that it was. You need to understand, they got some goofy stuff. My parents got saved, and boy, some people found out, hey, we got fresh meat, let's just fill them with all of our garbage. There's going to be an end time army, and they're going to oppose the Antichrist. Say what? Even after the Word says that He has given authority to overcome. He is allowed to overcome by God. Well, what are we supposed to do? Trust God. That's all there is to it. Well, I need to do something. Well, go brush your teeth. Start there. Just saying. You want to do something, you're not going to oppose with your weapons. Going down to Columbus with our AR strapped across our back and our shotguns and looking like a Rambo movie isn't going to change anything. Because our battle is not with flesh and blood. But mighty are the weapons of God to the pulling down of those strongholds. You pray for your governor. Pray for him. We elected him. Whether you voted for him or not, he was duly elected. Pray for him. Pray, pray, pray. It doesn't mean you can't not agree with him. I agree that there's some stupid things happening in Columbus. There's stupid things happening in Washington, D.C. There's stupid things happening in Morrow County. And it ain't even got nothing to do with the COVID stuff. It's just because it's Morrow County. We let God's Word, when we come in here, we let this Word come in and change our lives. We got to let it take seed. We got to let the Holy Spirit water it. Then we got to let the Son, the S-O-N/S-U-N. Let God, Jesus was the revealed Word. Let Jesus reveal that word to you so that you know how to be. Jude was talking about how people were behaving. Paul was talking to Titus about how people should be behaving in the church. These are the scriptures that we have that the fathers way back then said, these are the most important of the writings that we have. These are the most important. People need to know that they should be behaving differently. So be careful of what you're letting into your fountain. You may do something. I'm sure there's a few of you been up there to Cabela's in Dundee. Anybody? Okay. I figured these two, three, four. They have, and every time I am tempted, I'm not going to lie. We were just up there last week, and they have a trout river, trout stream. Trout. That big. Big old trout. Just swimming there. I'm like, how mad would they get if I got a fishing pole and practiced my fly fishing? But they have this sign. Please, for the health of our fish, do not throw coins in the water. Why? Fish go after shiny things. How do you think Peter got the fish with the coin in its mouth? Jesus knew it was there because God the Father told him there, not just because God forged a coin. God's not a falsifier. Wipe that out of your head. That's what was taught for years. It magically appeared. No. Probably some rich cat was over there flaunting it. Hey, look at the bag of gold I got. Whoop. Oh, got a hole. And that thing hit the water and that fish went whoop, thinking it was a mini. But people throw their coins in that still. There was coins in it. I'm like, how stupid can you be and still breathe oxygen, people? Not everything that you think is okay is actually good. Well, I do it for good luck. Well, how about you give me your quarters from now on? You just flip your quarters to me for good luck. And I'll just pray for you. How's that? I'll be like the Russian Orthodox Church. It'll be $5 for me to pray a blessing over you. That's about the equivalent. And they do that. No. We should always be blessing. We should always be speaking life. And we're not going to be speaking life if we're not in the Word. We're always going to be bent out of shape. Yes, I get it. There's no way around it. You're going to be confronted with the COVID crisis in this country. It's affecting everything. But you don't have to let it rule your day. You don't have to let it rule your life. When it rules your life, it is now up here. And guess what? It ain't supposed to be up here. God is the only thing supposed to be up here. You're thinking more about it than you think about God. I don't think about it. Well, I do, but I don't. And when I find myself, because I was raised up in those churches that we're going to have an end time army. You're going to go fight. Really? And then I became a Marine. I thought, yes, that's why. I'm going to fight the Antichrist for God. God don't need me to fight the Antichrist. Michael, the archangel, it's already told in Revelation. Him and the other angels, they're going to throw chains on the real Antichrist and throw him into the pit. So we're talking, we're worried about this stuff, trying to figure out how we're going to solve it. You're not going to solve it. I have my beliefs, and I'll just keep them right there, because that and a dollar will buy you a cup of coffee somewhere. And my beliefs might be wrong. But let's make sure that we're letting the love of God flow out of us. It's love. Did you notice everything there? It was love. Love, love, love. Because God loved. His love is what changed us. And again, for your neighbor that's annoying the dog dewy out of you, pray for them. Bless them. As I've said before, blessing does not mean you're praying that God prospers them with a new car and money and clothes and boats. That's not blessing. Blessing is God getting somebody out of a situation. It was mercy for New Orleans when Katrina hit. It got people that were never going to be able to get out of the welfare system. It literally pushed them out of their comfort zone, and they had to go move somewhere else, had to get a job, had to start doing something, and realized, I have a life. There is life. So, all right. So let's stand. Here's your challenge. For every minute you spend thinking, talking, and watching anything about the government, about COVID, you spend reading your Bible. You understand how it works? If you spend 10 minutes a day getting all filled up with angst and anxiousness and hatred and you keep following all those stupid memes and things, you spend 10 minutes doing that, you spend 10 minutes reading the Bible. You spend 10 minutes getting to know God, because God is the answer to this problem. It is not a scientist in a laboratory. It is not us going down with a protest sign. The Antichrist is going to rise. We're not stopping it. If it's time, it's time. If it's not, God won't let it happen. Everybody thought that Rome was it. What'd God let happen? Barbarians. You guys, they weren't exactly the most coordinated people, and they weren't the smartest. I'll throw that out there. They go into a town full of running water. They got water that they pipe in from miles and miles away. They got bathrooms. Nobody has to do it in their house and throw it out in the street, which is what they did. The barbarians came in and destroyed all of it. We don't want running water. That's stupid. I don't know. I personally have grown accustomed to running water. I don't like having to go 100 yards across the road to the creek, because if there ain't no rain, the creek's a little low and a little dry. So you do that. So, and don't worry. I'm not going to check, but I am going to, in my prayers, I'm going to ask God, hey, ride them, Lord. Whoosh. Crack that whip a couple times. Dig in the spurs. You need to have life. We're called the salt of the earth. We're supposed to bring flavor and life. Not kill it, sterilize it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we are truly grateful, Lord, for everything that you have done through your Holy Spirit and through your Son. Lord, we know now that you have given us the same power, the same authority, Lord, to use your word to speak life into these situations. And Father, we declare today that we will begin to speak life, Father, that we ask, Father, that you awaken in us, you quicken in us those times when we're about to speak death, the negative garbage that does not need to come out, Lord, that you just silence us, Father, that we fall for a loss of words. Father, that we will pray for our leaders. We will pray for those spitefully using us. Lord, we will ask you to bless them, Father, for we know that your blessing always leads people to repentance. So, Father, we thank you that you are moving in this country right now. you're moving in this world right now, that people are going to be getting saved. They're going to find Jesus Christ. They're going to find victory. They're going to find salvation. They're going to find the power over addiction, over sin, over a death-filled life. And now, Father, I pray that you fill each and every one of your people here today with that life. You fill them with hope overflowing. Words of encouragement, Lord God, will just bubble up in them. Father, that they will start thinking about things that they didn't think of before. But, Father, that your word will be at the forefront of every thought. So, Father, I bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen.